Morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ.
Good morning.
Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. I see what kind of love the Father has given to us. We should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who does hope in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Thanks be to the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Thank God for another week that He's blessed us with. It's just a privilege. It's always a privilege to be here and to be together in this way. I want to extend a very warm welcome to all our visitors, those who are here today. We welcome you into our assembly. We're thankful that you came along. We pray that you'll find this time beneficial and a blessing to you, as I know it will be to each one of us this morning. The world today is spending time celebrating in some way or another, in the worldly way of celebrating the birth of Jesus as they do. We understand from teaching, of course, that from the Word of God, there's no specific instruction for a day like tomorrow. It's not biblically called upon. We remember our Lord on the first day of every week. I always see it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to tell people about the fact that we treasure our Lord. We treasure the gift of life that was given through Him. And every day of our lives is a celebration of the joy that we have of knowing Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for being here. We want to encourage you as well to consider this gift that has been given. Consider this gift that has been given in respect of the whole story as well, and what it means to each one of us. Christ was born for sure. Nowhere in the Bible does it give us a date of birth, and nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to celebrate the way that we do, just as in Easter. There's nowhere in the Bible that says celebrate Easter with an egg or anything like that. Or there's nowhere in the Bible that says celebrate Halloween, of course. However, everything that is in the Bible are things that we follow and things that we strive to do in accordance with the will of God. But nevertheless, one thing we do know for certain is that Christ was born. Christ lived on this earth. He walked the path that we walk. He stood on this physical ground. He breathed the air. He ate the food, and He went through all the things that we go through in our life. And He came to bring a message of salvation. And that message is recorded in the Word of God. This message is a message of salvation. And Jesus came to bring life. He said that the Word became flesh. The Word of God came in the form of flesh. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Jesus walked upon this earth with the purpose of bringing a message. We know that He was born. We know that He died. We know that He was risen. And we know that through Him we have victory. That is the reality of the truth. That is the truth that we have. And that is the message that the Word of God teaches. And so in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. That is the facts that we have. That is the truth that we have. In John 1 verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. In other words, we were talking about this in our class this morning with the younger people. We talked about the Word becoming flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, our God came down in human form and dwelt amongst his people in order that he might be able to bring understanding to this lost world. He says he dwelt among us and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, and that blessing was brought to us. One of the things that you'll discover about God is everything is precise. He tells us what he wants us to do, and when he doesn't tell us to do something, we don't need to do. He tells us how he wants us to live, and everything about God is about time. He created the world in a certain time, and everything that came to plan, even through the plan from the fall of man all the way to the birth of Christ, was all about time. Galatians 4 verse 4 says, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son born of a woman, born under the law. It was the right time, and it was done in the right place, and it was done according to the plan of God. So everything about God is about planning, it's about time, it's about understanding that God has a way for things to be and an order for them to come to be. And so our life is centered around this time that we need to utilize for ourselves as well. Brethren, this time that we have on this earth is limited. It is so limited. And it will end. And this time and how we use it will matter. And so even when the fullness of time had come, in other words, God had specific time for the birth of Jesus, and that time took place, and Jesus was born under the law in that time in order to fulfill the will that he had in place. Now, John 3 verse 3 says, Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, everything that God had planned, everything that God had put into place, he put there specifically with the plan that we can see the kingdom of God. And so how we use our time on this earth will determine our future. How we spend our time in this land will depend upon our future, how we can see the kingdom of God. And we will see that kingdom through his word and through his our obedience to his word. And I just want to share 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, he has caused us to be born again. Everything about the plan of God. The world sees the birth of Jesus, but I see a life of Christ. My life is focused upon his entire life. Everything that was done specifically with a purpose to redeem his people, to redeem God's people, redeem us from the situation that we are in. Now I want to share this with you. If you have given your life to Christ in baptism, if you have become a child of God, I want you to know that you have entered a wonderful relationship. A relationship that cannot be compared with anything else in life. You know, there's very little that we can depend upon this earth. Even our homes are vulnerable. You know, they can let us down. Our cars are vulnerable. Our friendships can be vulnerable. People in the world can be very vulnerable, very volatile, very insecure. But I want you to know that if you have entered the relationship with Jesus Christ, then you are in a relationship that is wonderful. And I want to offer you some assurance. And it's this. If you have accepted Jesus into your life, no matter what you're going to face in your life, good or bad, whether you're going through struggles right now, whether you're concerned about things that are happening around you. Maybe there's some struggles in your home, or you're going through some struggles financially, maybe relationship issues, or going through some form of difficulty. I want to tell you that this Jesus, when we celebrate his life every week, and we celebrate the life that he has given in the form of remembering the sacrifice, I want you to know that God will be with you. That's one thing that I want you to take with you today, that God is with you. He's with you. That is the relationship that we have. This isn't just something that we just celebrate one day of a year and just come together and you're celebrating that way. This is the life that we have. God is with you. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. In other words, if I'm in a prison cell somewhere, like the Apostle Paul was, God is with him. You see, the Apostle Paul, in a prison cell, while he was locked up in chains, was not alone. You could be on an island. Do you ever feel as a Christian sometimes that there's no one around you? Maybe you feel just so alone. Even with your brethren, you can sometimes still feel so alone. God is with you. God is with you. That is the Saviour who we celebrate. This life of Jesus isn't just a baby. We're talking about a person. We're talking about God in the flesh, who came to this earth to give himself fully for each one of us. And it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do you know the word working? Greek is, sometimes it's important to look at translations in the Bible. It helps. So if we're studying and preachers will tell you, as they prepare lessons, they'll sometimes look at the words, the translations, get the context. What is this saying? You know, God is working in me. What does that mean? Do you know the word working in Greek is the word energos? Energos. Do you know the translation for energos is energy? Energy. So when you look at translations like that and read the passage in that context, what we see is that no matter what we are going through, it is God who is energizing. He's giving you the energy. Working in you is energizing you and giving you that energy. God is the energy driver in your life. As long as you keep him within. You see, if I get a torch and I put my batteries in it and I switch the power on, it shines. The energy inside brings out the light from the outside. If I take the batteries out and put it back together and switch it on, there is nothing. There is no energy. There is nothing coming from it. You see, God, we see, works in you. He is the energy within you to will and to do his good pleasure. That is what he wants for you. That is our purpose. Our purpose is to be energized by God and to produce the best works that we can through having him as our energy. You're not just going on willpower. We don't just have a baby in a manger. We have a Son of God who came down on this earth as the flesh form. And he lived his life on this land and fulfilled every single prophecy that was laid down before him. Everything that was told before him, he fulfilled. He went to his death. He went through his burial. He came up through his resurrection, and he brings victory to each one of us. And God is willing you. I had to think about that one day, and I thought, do you realize that he wants you to succeed? He's willing you. He's energizing you, and he is trying to get you through. God says he will be energizing you no matter what you're facing. Your weaknesses, your sins, your struggles, your battles, your conflicts. He is going to be the one that is going to be your strength. He is our Father in heaven. We pray, our Father in heaven. We say He is our Father. A father, you think of a father and what a father truly should be. A father should be dependable. A father should be reliable. A father should be someone who you can trust that will stand by you no matter what, that will never leave you. That is a father. Our Father in heaven, in John 14:18, says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you a little while longer. The world will see me no more, but you will see me. You will see me. Because I live, you will also. At that day you will know, and here we go, listen to this, that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Our energizer, the one who gets us through our struggles. Don't forget, we aren't just looking at a child, we're not just looking at a baby, we're looking at the Son of God, who became the Son of Man and fulfilled all the tasks and plans that were foretold through the Holy Word of God. And He, brethren, is willing you. He is willing you to be energized to get through. He says, I will not leave you. That's quite a promise. The Bible says Christ is in you. The Bible says you're sheltered with Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit. We need to do a study sometime, a Bible study on the Holy Spirit. This gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive in that baptistry, in that water of baptism. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means for the devil to get to you, he's got to go through God. And the only way that he'll get to you is when you let God out. When you take out your energizer, when you pull him out of your life. When you say, God's not going to be the centre of my life, I'm going to be the centre of my life. I'm going to focus on me and me alone. And therefore we take out our energizer, and when our problems come, we take a fall. We hit the floor. Because the devil gets to you because you didn't allow God to be there to stop him. In Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We forget. God is willing you. He wants you to get through this life. He wants you to get through the trials and struggles. He wants you to, the devil wants you to fall at every hurdle. Every time you are doing good works for God, the devil is there. He will show up. Every time you're spiritually high, he'll make you spiritually low. Because we allow the devil to take control. Instead of resisting the devil so he flees from us and drawing near to God so that he can draw near to us, we give up and allow the devil to take control. And the power that should be within us is no more because we relinquish that. We need to, brethren, get up every morning. The world gets up tomorrow morning and celebrates the birth of a child. We celebrate every day of our lives. Every day of our lives that I am alive, I celebrate the gift of God and what He has done to bring salvation to each one of us. And every morning you need to get up knowing that God is with you through every trial, through every struggle, through every burden. We have purpose. We have purpose in life. Usually our purpose is identified by our profession. That so-and-so, he's a bank manager. That so-and-so, he flies aircrafts. That so-and-so, he works for the council. That so-and-so, he's a builder or a carpenter or a bricklayer. Even in scripture, we often read it. You know, Jesus was identified, aren't you the carpenter? You know, people identify people by professions, but we are purposed to be something very special. And this is what I want you to hang on to today. We are purposed to be the children of God. The children of God. In other words, He to be our Father. Our God is a Father who wants us to be His children. And through obedience of His word, And through obeying his scripture, as we have read this morning by our brother Anthony, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. He is my Father. He is your Father. I love that. So, some of the versions, I think the NIV says, what the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. They cannot identify him in that respect. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The Bible is very clear as to what our purpose of life should be. We are the children of God. We are his children. The world was taken from its true father, their father. You know, we look back in the time of Adam and Eve, and they fell away. At one time, they were walking in the Garden of Eden with their God. They were walking in the garden with their God. And then they take themselves away from him through sin. Away from his fellowship. And so what does he want? This child that the world thinks about, this man who we know about, this man came to bring life to each one of us and to bring us back to our Father in heaven. The one who energizes us. The one who guides us. That is our purpose. So the world has no purpose without God. Listen, if you don't have God, what purpose do you have? You have the worldly things. We have possessions. We have our homes. We have our cars. We have our bank accounts. I was talking to one of my neighbours the other day, and he was talking about his pension. All he was talking about was his pension, and I'm worried about my pension, and what am I going to do when I retire? I was thrilled to be able to tell him a little bit about what I'm concerned about, because there's something beyond that. These are the physical things that the world sees, but they need to see beyond that. You know, we have a Saviour who wants his people to come back to him. Because without Christ, there is no purpose. Just getting up and celebrating a birth is no purpose. Not willing to look at what the Bible teaches, what God wants of his people to be. You see, the world has lost its purpose. Many, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, sought for and discovered purposes. That's what they did. Well, look at Solomon. You study Solomon. He discovered no purpose of life when lived only for this world. That's what he discovered. Through all his investigation, for all his experience, he said, there's nothing. Without God, there is no purpose. He gives the concluding remark in Ecclesiastes, actually, at the conclusion, in 12:13 through 14. He says, that's Ecclesiastes 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. What use will the worldly things be in this context? How will that benefit us? As people, Solomon says that life is all about honouring God with our thoughts, with our lives, with our living. Our Father, behold what love is lavished upon us, that we should be called his children. The one who energises you through life, the one who wills you to do well. And Solomon says we need to honour our God with all of our life. With all of our thoughts, with all of our lives, because our Father, one day we will stand before him. It'll be judgment, and we'll need to give an account. And he would say, why did you not allow that baby to grow in you, to learn about the true story of what the purpose was of Jesus on this earth. If we focus only on this life, King David looked for his salvation in what was to come. Psalm 17 through 15, he says, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." You see, full satisfaction would come on the day when he awoke in the next life. That was his satisfaction. Sometimes we take all our satisfaction on just this physical earth. Full satisfaction is when I've got my pension in place, or when I've got my finances in order, or when I've got my house paid off, or when I find somewhere to live that is more affordable. That is my satisfaction. Behold God's face. Fellowship with our God in heaven and being like him. 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is now yet not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The Apostle Paul talked about all that he achieved in his life, all that he achieved as he was Saul, all the terrible things that happened, and he concluded that all of this was nothing compared to the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus. You see, when God is in your life, you've got no purpose. But when God is in your life, you have purpose. And he is the one that will bring us through. Philippians 3, 9 through 10, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." The Apostle Paul wanted nothing more than to know Christ and be found in him, to have his righteousness and to live by faith in him, even if it meant suffering and dying on this physical earth for that to happen. Paul's purpose was knowing Christ. That should be our purpose. We see the world often just sees a child, the nativity or whatever they want to call it. But God's word is a plan of salvation. It's a whole story, a truthful, factual story or account of how we get to heaven. And so Paul's purpose was knowing Christ and having a righteousness obtained through faith in him and living in fellowship with him, even when that brought on suffering. And 2 Timothy 3:12, ultimately he looked for the time when he would be part of the resurrection from the dead. Brethren, we have purpose. Our first purpose, and I want you to cling to this, is that our Father in heaven wants you to be his child. He wants you to be his child, because when he created this world, Adam and Eve were his children. But they fell from fellowship. They departed like the prodigal who left his father. And what the Father wants is he wants his people to come back. He wants us to glorify him and enjoy fellowship with him, to have a good relationship with others, to work for the kingdom, and to serve God in everything that we do. But with man's fall into sin, the fellowship was taken. But through the life of Jesus Christ, that was changed. And that change took place. So the purpose of man is to turn and come back to where we should be. That is why Christ was born. He was born on this earth with a plan. And that plan was to redeem his people. He wants each and every person here today to have that understanding. You know, God's word is here for everyone. It's free for everyone to have access to. We glorify God by fearing and obeying Him. We were talking about this in our class this morning with our young people. You know, that God wants us to obey Him. He wants us to follow His way. Christ was born to bring life, to bring back His children, that we should be called children of God. Let's have an invitation, shall we rise?